I got a sore throat starting up here. I need a glass of water. It's hurting.
Just as we were getting going. Okay.
Yeah, I know. One
now second. Go for it. I'm going to eat some fried Oreos. Fucking.
Really?
Yeah. There's like a delivery minimum. And like, I was just like, oh, fucking fried Oreos obviously is what you get when there's a delivery minimum. The problem is they changed the price.
Who delivers fried Oreos?
I mean, there's a carnival that, no, it's just this fucking place. I don't fucking know. Fucking, it's called like, oh, these are different than they were last time.
Well, hello everybody up there in music video land, and welcome to another edition of This Week in Music Videos, where we're talking about the week in music videos. Music videos never sleep, as the classic saying goes. So we, every week, take a look at what's coming out, what's going on. My name is Adam. This podcast is brought to you by IMVDB, the Internet Music Video Database. I do things for IMVDB. With me, as usual, is Mr. Doug Klinger in Brooklyn, New York. Doug, what's going on?
Just hanging in there. Got some fried Oreos. So I'm going to mute myself right after I say this so I can eat it and you don't hear me chew.
Never had a fried Oreo, and I don't know if I want one. But, you know, if the opportunity arose, I can't say I would turn it down. And then with his usual north of the wall is Mr. Fringe Music Fix, Adam Alexander. Adam, what's up?
Not much. I'm ready to go. Some good videos to talk about.
That's right. This is the second week in January 2015. Still kind of seems weird saying that. We're writing a new week in the history books of music videos. And I kind of don't know where to begin there. Last week we had the Sia Elastic Heart video, and that was there was a big controversy around that. But Doug, you kind of tacked this on as a video that we would talk about how fake it is. But I watched this week and kind of really loved it, and it was the Maroon 5 Sugar video.
Wait a minute, what? You loved it?
I did too.
It was a fun video. It was a fun video. Yeah.
Yeah, it was fun. This time I bought it. The gimmicky kind of sappy. I bought it. I loved it.
I watched this video and audibly screamed at how upset I was at this fucking video. And you guys like it. I was literally watching it saying, this may be the my least favorite video ever. And
well, you guys like this video. Let's describe it a little bit. Maroon 5, this is like their album V. This is like the eighth single. I think this might be the 40th single off this album. No, it's the fifth single, called Sugar by Maroon 5. And the whole concept of this video is that they're driving around to, it's supposed to be like an actual sort of live, you know, stuff that has actually happened. They're driving around to different weddings in Los Angeles and surprising the bride and groom. And the way they do it is an advance team kind of goes in, just like walks into this wedding party and sets up a stage with a curtain, and then Maroon 5 gets behind the curtain drops, and then the wedding party sees that it is Maroon 5, aka sees that it is Adam Levine, because I don't think anybody else would recognize Maroon 5, and they go nuts, and that's the whole premise of the video. They do it for like five or six weddings.
And it's not real.
It could not be real. You're right.
Well,
no, it's definitely not real.
It's definitely not real, but it looks real.
Yeah.
It does not look real at all. What are you guys talking about?
The reactions are good. They're good. The reactions are, if it's not real, which it probably isn't.
No. There's no probably. This is not real.
Okay,
so not real.
Those are some well acted surprise performances.
No, it is not.
Why can't it be real? I don't understand why it can't be real.
Doug hates these videos.
This video is full of people faking being at a wedding seven times, and every time it's the same fucking thing seven times in a row. It's like, here's what we're doing, and once again, and now again, and fucking again, and it's all just fucking brides with their mouths open. That's this whole video.
I guess what I did to appreciate this video was
shut it off early.
Well, you could go that route, but I what I did was I pretend put myself in the shoes of these fake people and imagined I don't even like Maroon 5, but if I was getting married and Maroon 5 surprised us with a performance, they were the wedding band, I would shit my pants. And that's what sold
me. And that's probably you know what people would do, people would too. Other people probably would too. People with real weddings would too. So don't fucking fake it. Like there's nothing more fucking pretentious than coming up with a music video idea that's like, what's my music video idea? Oh, me showing up in public and people going nuts for me. Like, that's this concept, and then weddings.
And it's interesting that the whole concept kind of revolves around the idea that when you drop a sheet and certain people, aka Maroon 5, are behind it, that there are people of a certain generation that will recognize them instantly. And you know, I actually I'm in the camp of, I wouldn't call myself like a Maroon 5 fan, but I enjoy their music, and I enjoyed their music since like my freshman year of college. Roommate played songs about Jane, you know, if I'm going to be hipster about it.
This is not the same college roommate that played the Big Boy album.
I had the Big Boy album. What Big Boy album?
The Outkast Speaker Box Love Below album.
Ooh, no, hold on. First of all, I loved that album.
Of course you had it.
I had the vinyl set for that. The four vinyls.
I'm not saying you didn't have the album. I'm just saying that didn't you have a roommate that like gravitated more to the Big Boy version and would play it frequently? I remember this story. I'm not making any implications about your.
No, he would never play that. He would play the first Robin Thicke album when he was called Thicke.
Oh, okay.
And also a lot of really explicit rap. Like, remember the Lick Your Crack song?
Obviously.
Yeah, that's a good one. I heard that.
I don't think those are the exact But words,
anyway,
but I know what you're talking about.
But I've for going on 10 years now, I've had Maroon 5 in my life. And like, if it was my wedding and they dropped that curtain, like I would recognize Adam Levine. Like, they're very much one of those bands like Coldplay, where the lead singer kind of takes off, but the band stays together, which is kind of a new trend in the last few decades. And it is now, Doug, you are kind of postulating that all of these are 100% staged, like actors, the whole deal.
Yeah, even though that's not how it's being presented. Like, there's like an uproar. What is it? Uproarks? How do you say this website's name? Uproar.
I think it's Uproarks.
Uproarks, whatever. And that headline is Maroon 5 crashes real weddings. But that's fucking bullshit. This is like, what wedding have you been to where someone can just like construct a sheet in the middle of it and like no one's gonna say shit? Like, oh right,
well, and the first one they go to, the dad, the father, yeah, of the bride, the fucking fake ass dad
walks up and he's like, wags his fucking old white man finger. Like, all of this is so staged. I don't know, like, that guy looks like a dad from a sitcom. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
I think
this just seems so like, and if it is real,
I think it's real.
They shot it like it isn't, because this is so staged. It feels so staged. Like, it's the same fucking weird bearded guy who's like dictating 11 weddings in a day. What's going on here? None of this feels real.
I feel like the answer is a little bit of both worlds. I believe these are actual wedding parties. But I believe that that there were parties involved in the planning of the wedding side that knew this was going to happen and knew that. I read a lot of articles about this, and none of them
like confirm it. Their reactions seem real to me. Well, these people are crazy if these reactions seem real. Whether or not these seem are real reactions or not, they do not seem real. Everyone like in this video seems like an actor. Like, this shit wouldn't happen. I don't think people would recognize Adam Levine so readily. Like,
really?
To the point where you expect him to be at your goddamn wedding, like, where you like, as soon as the sheet falls, you're like, you immediately realize this is Adam Levine when you're at your wedding. Like,
I think bullshit. Yeah. So there's a very funny moment in the video that so when they're driving around LA in this convertible, and they drive by an advertisement. One of the advertisements is blurred out. It's a very large billboard. But the other one is an advertisement for The Voice, which Adam Levine, of course, is a judge on. Some nice kind of placement in there. I can't tell if they actually like drove by that because they knew that ad was going to be there, or they saw that ad and they're like, well, there's something we don't have to blur out, so go for it. There's also, if you look at the screen cap, they do this for like 0.5 seconds, and it drives me nuts when people do this because it's just completely 100% unnecessary. And that is put like a home video camera, like heads up display on the video. Like, if you look at the YouTube, like, little picture for this that...
With the date?
With the date and, like, the record button and, like, the battery indicator at, like, 2/3. It's just, like, that... Why? Nobody, like, buys that this is, a Sony Handycam that you're filming this with. Nobody is going down that route. You're trying to convince people that these are real weddings. Why are you starting off by, like, establishing this, like, very strong bond of distrust with them?
Like... It's just like the way this whole thing is presented. Like, this feels nothing like that. Remember that Katy Perry video for birthday, right, which I sent you a clip of, Adam, for your to celebrate your birthday.
Thank you.
Like, I celebrated. That feels real, and the reactions feel a lot more genuine. And it's basically the same video, except Katy Perry's like dressed up. Hmm.
I had more fun watching this one.
Oh yeah, I agree.
Guys, holy shit. I literally was like yelling at my screen.
It's cute. No, it's not. This is terrible.
Terrible. This is on my list of literally one of the worst videos I've ever watched.
What's the beer commercial where like a small shitty band is surprised by playing a bigger venue? I was reminded of that. Oh, maybe that's a shitty.
That's right.
There's a bunch of Bud Light commercials that like pull people out of places. I'm trying to find this one shot that like cemented it for me that this was fake. It was them. It was Maroon 5 like walking in the back of like wherever this wedding is being held. And there's
the cook goes nuts for them.
Chef. Fuck you, this chef knows who these fucking guys are.
Instantaneously, and he's like amazed.
He stops what he's doing and turns around. A chef, like they have this shot of this chef, like with his jaw dropped, walking. Come on, guys. Like, you guys watch music videos all the time, and you think this is real? And
fucking... I don't know that it's real. I just thought, I wanted to be at one of these fake weddings. That would be fucking awesome.
The chef thing is hilarious because there is literally no beat between him like laying eyes on whoever. They're walking through a kitchen, so you don't know if they're laying eyes on specifically Adam Levine or not. And he's like bug-eyed, like, oh my god. Probably was definitely fake.
So maybe if I'm like gonna play along with you guys, like maybe they had like some of the wedding stuff is real and they like put this stuff in here, but then why the fuck are you doing that? Like, if these are real weddings, why are you having an actor fake in the back of a, and like, why do they sneak in the kitchen? Like, there's no real place where like going through the kitchen is the back way. Like, that's a movie thing. Like, no restaurant is set up where you can access the place through the kitchen. Like,
and now that I think of it, they never show how Maroon 5 gets behind the sheet.
Yeah, they just show up behind the sheet. Like, what the fuck?
I thought of something else too. Like, wouldn't most people like they book a band for their wedding? So I feel bad for like the little shitty bands that got booked for these weddings.
No, these weddings are pretty big. It's not little shitty bands that play weddings like this. These bands who play weddings like this are like,
okay, but not Maroon 5. Smaller than Maroon 5. And those guys just didn't get to play because Maroon 5 showed up?
No,
because
Maroon 5 just played this song and left. They had to go.
Song nobody knows.
They didn't do the whole gig.
Well, the other weird thing, and I was very confused my first go around for this video, because at the first wedding, it looks like they're not only like building the stage, but they're sort of like opening the parts of the stage.
Right.
Like, there's like plastic wrap over it.
Right.
Which just seemed...
Who's allowing that to happen at their wedding?
When they open the thing, it's a full stage setup. So it's not like just... Imagine if you will, you're at your wedding. I've been married before, and I'm still married. and, you know, it's a very planned ceremony, and you're hanging out, and you're at your reception. And I would think, now, Doug, you're starting to pull me over to your side here, because I'm imagining being in a room here and having... A crew come in and assemble it, but also the attendant cameraman, and also the must have been. You have to load in a truck basically to get the amount of equipment they have on the little like behind the sheet stage. This wasn't like them coming in for an acoustic performance. They had like Marshall stacks behind this,
and everything is lit really well too. Like it wouldn't look like. Have you ever like this? Doesn't look like a wedding video. Like, you can't just, like, throw a red camera in a wedding and get something that looks like this. And then, just as the cherry on top, and maybe you guys didn't watch to this point, but can we just remember that at the 3-minute point that, like, they're on the road and, like, girls get out of a car and take fake selfies and then, like, a cop comes and all of this shit? None of that happened. None of that happened. Go to the 3-minute point and watch the nonsense that's going on and tell me this is real.
You're so cynical, Doug. You're so cynical.
I'm cynical. I thought this was going to be the last video and we were all going to be dumping on it. I cannot believe we led with this video and you guys were liking it. I'm like, I was not ready. I was not ready to do this. I'm like...
You put it in the list, but we can move on to another video.
No. Hold on.
I think you pulled us over into believing that it's not real, but I stand by that it's fun.
I want you to go to the 3-minute point and tell me that's
real. I saw that part.
Watch what happens at 3 minutes and tell me it's real.
No, it's
11 models pop out of a Volkswagen Jetta and take selfies with the band. That just happened to happen in between going from one wedding to another. Totally, guys. Totally David Dobson.
David Dobson has directed a Tupac video.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe this credit. I don't remember where I got this credit.
No, the credit is accurate. It's all over the place.
But is it the same David Dobson? Because that's weird if it is. David Dobson is gone.
I've read in Rolling Stone that they had wanted to work together for a while, so I don't know, maybe it isn't. Who knows?
Yeah, they've been brewing this idea for a bit.
so
I'm sorry. Let's move on
because we've got more things to talk about, because there's some great videos that came out this week. So amazing.
There were.
Like we talked about last week, January and February are big weeks or big months for music videos. And we had Doug, you can correct me if you want to move to something else. But we had another addition in our very much-loved director and artist collaboration with Childish Gambino and Hiro Murai this week.
Technically it was Friday of last week, but we didn't get to talk about it, and I felt like we probably had to.
Oh, yeah, we definitely. I think for our purposes, this is happening this week. This Week in Music Videos, and that is a video for Sober. And if you're not familiar, Hiro Murai has directed several, I'm not sure the exact number, for several videos.
I think it's four.
Four videos for Childish Gambino, a.k.a. Donald Glover.
And then two short films.
Correct. The last one before this was Telegraph Ave, Oakland. And the one before that was Sweatpants, and before that was 3005. All amazing music videos. But Doug, you mentioned that this one is your favorite of the collaboration. So why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, this is my favorite of these collaborations. I feel like this is just the one that kind of like takes all the things that I like from the previous videos and puts them into one piece. Basically, the concept of this video is Childish Gambino is at a kind of like chicken restaurant. I think that it is. It's they already did like a restaurant themed one and it's definitely like a more of a diner setting. This one is more like a counter service restaurant, but it's like very dingy and rundown and like very like LA weird. And he's like there. The restaurant is empty except for him and this other very attractive lady played by Amber Jones. And she's kind of sitting there. They're both kind of like it would appear like they're just like waiting for their takeout. And Donald Glover, who is Childish Gambino, like begins this kind of strange courtship during the song. Excuse me, where he kind of is partially singing the lyrics, partially dancing, partially like sitting at this girl's table and just kind of like engaging with her, and she keeps trying to move away from him, and he keeps kind of coming back, and eventually he kind of cracks the shell and gets her to smile. That's like the action that happens, but really what this video is all about is like the mood and the style and the amazing dancing and the lighting and the just the whole look and feel of the video that has kind of carried through all of the Gambino and Hiro Murai collaborations. But yeah, like this has like the mood and kind of stoicness of the 3005 video. Obviously the restaurant kind of theme carries over from the sweatpants video, and then the dance moves that are also really great in the Telegraph Ave video all kind of come together and make this.
DP by Kevin Phillips, who has been on this podcast, and
she shot two of the videos on our list this week.
And he also shot 3005 by Childish Gambino.
Right, and which we talked about when we had him on the podcast. It's a really interesting story because that video obviously is very complex in what they had to do to shoot it. And this video was also Steadicam by Ari Robbins, who also Steadicam the sweatpants video. So what'd you guys think of this video? Can you rank it on your Gambino Murai collaborations, or do you not look at it that way?
I think you definitely have to look at it that way, because when you talk about kind of modern director and artist collaborations, I mean, Hiro Murai and Childish Gambino is near at the top of the list for me. In terms of a match of style and mood, and they just seem to complement each other so well.
It's one that strikes me like as like a team that like that came up with this style together. It's not like
sure.
like one really or the other bringing something to the other. Like this seems like they came together for this style and mood.
Yeah, because it totally feels like a 50-50 on all the series, all the videos.
Because, you know, Hiro Murai can do, you know, Hiro Murai directed the video for, you know, Airplanes by B.O.B. I mean, he can do that style of video. You know, and She-Wolf Falling to Pieces by David Guetta, and DJ Got Us Falling in Love by Usher. I mean, Hiro Murai has a really incredible range of style. And this one just feels like both of them, you know, on the same path. Which is really, you know, it sounds kind of hokey, but it really is interesting to watch, because you know that both of them are going in the direction they want to go, and you know you're kind of along for the ride. This one was much more. I know 3005 takes place, you know, in a entirely in basically the same bench. This one seemed to be the most kind of stripped down. It kind of reminded me of you guys familiar with the concept of like a bottle episode. In the middle of a TV show season, there'll be a bottle episode, which is specifically kind of low budget. I think one of the most famous examples of that is the Fly episode from Breaking Bad, where it's usually like there's usually like one location, there's not any special stunts, it's usually mostly talking, and it's to save budget for, you know, the finale or something else that is going to eat up money. And it kind of reminded me of that a little bit, but sometimes those bottle episodes are the most interesting. They're the most they have the most, you know, rewatchability of watching and finding little pieces up and over, you know, over and over again. I really like the moment where Childish Gambino hands the girl a note and it says, "I'm so high right now."
I'm so high.
I'm so high. Yeah.
It comes out of an egg.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's just so many unexpected little brilliant. Excuse me, surprises in this that I really, really love this video.
It looks a lot like Gambi or Hiro's handwriting, by the way.
Oh yeah, well that's yeah. How do you know what Hiro's
handwriting looks like? He also has like a doodle blog, and Hiro like draws and stuff, and I've seen some of it, and he writes words, and it looks like that.
Yeah, I think you touched on it there, Adam. The simplicity of this video's concept is probably what makes it work so well. It's simpler than the other concepts with like him turning into an alien and all the other stuff. Going to Hawaii. But actually, I do find that it kind of has a similarity to the video for Telegraph Avenue in that he seems a little bit otherworldly in this video as well.
Well, and there's some interesting things going on because this video is 5 minutes long. It starts at the very at the beginning. There's a clock that is very obvious to see, and it says 9:30. And after 5 minutes of music video, he sits right back in the same seat, and it says 9:30 still. And so there's some more stuff going on. This could all be like a dream, or like their girl could actually not be there because he's like not happy. Like he's like very stoic and kind of like, you know, not stoked when he's sitting there by himself. And then like a lot of personality, kind of like manic personality, comes out of him in when he's like trying to like impress this girl. Like he's doing a whole bunch of different things. Like he first goes and like starts to, he's like partially singing the lyrics and kind of like dancing with his hands on the table. He does this really cool finger moon walk, and then but it's like weird, and he like is doing like mannerisms where he's like taking his brain out, and it kind of startles the girl and she walks away. And then he like is really big with his dance moves, and really like he just goes through this like wave of emotions. And you know, it's interesting to harp back on what we're talking about, the collaboration between Hero and Childish Gambino. It's obviously worth noting, as we have before, that Donald Glover has a significant production background as well. He's, you know, been a major character on television shows and has done a lot of production himself. And so, you know, the artist-director relationships can go further knowing kind of what Donald Glover's background is.
I really wanted to talk about so one other video that came out this week that I found really interesting. I don't know if I would put it in the category of I liked it, but I found really kind of interesting concept was the Sleater-Kinney No Cities to Love video.
Yeah, it is an interesting concept.
Let me.
You said you don't know if you liked it.
I don't know. So this is so. Actually, it's weirdly appropriate that this video came out at this time because I've been working on an article for quite a while about diegetic sound in music videos. You know, if you take like a film course or whatever, one of the first concepts you learn about is diegetic versus non-diegetic sound. And diegetic sound is sound that appears like in a scene. Like if somebody turns on a radio and the sound comes out of the radio, that's diegetic music. Music videos almost, you know, as a rule, have non-diegetic sound, where music is coming from, you know, another place. There's nothing specifically causing it. I think one of the, a really interesting example of turning that on its head is the Sleepless by Cazette video.
Right. Top 10 list
last year, where the music is specifically coming from, you know, a source in the story.
That's acknowledged. They're like,
exactly.
Let's play. Like they choose to like play music and like mention what they're playing.
And this video.
So can it be like, would another example be when the music is being played in a club, and then if they were outside of the club, it would sound as if it was in the club. Is that the same sort of thing?
Right. And actually the Childish Gambino. Gambino Sober video has a great example of this, because all of a sudden your perspective, the camera is outside of the restaurant or this little takeout place,
and you can hear the clicking of her cell phone.
Yeah, you can hear. Well, you, and then the music does stops coming through, stops being non-diegetic, and it becomes diegetic, where right. You hear the music kind of muffled from inside of the restaurant.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
And you know, music videos have played with this, and you know, we just talked about a few examples. It's such an interesting thing, I think, because
it's in the Maroon 5 video too.
It is actually is. Yeah, this is an interesting video for diegetic and non-diegetic music.
Fake ass cheering.
And Sleater-Kinney kind of takes it to another level this week with No Cities to Love, because you actually, until the very end, you don't really hear the song. What it is these clips of people listening to the song on headphones and humming and like kind of singing their version of the song. And
celebrities.
Yeah.
It's interesting because this video has existed before. Like, let's have my cool celebrity friends lip sync my song and there's my music video. But I've never seen it done where they actually let you hear like the terrible renditions the people.
I think I've seen that done, but usually the duration of the terrible renditions is about the length of the actual studio recording we get in this video. It'll be like the first 15 seconds,
right? Maybe,
and then the song kicks in.
Right, but this, they stick with it the whole time. And I think we have the whole cast list here, and then we have the editor. I don't think there's really like a director for this video.
Well, it's anchored by Sleater-Kinney has what's her name from Portlandia?
Carrie Brownstein.
Carrie Brownstein.
She's in
right.
Sleater-Kinney.
She is in Sleater-Kinney, and she's also part of Portlandia. Fred Armisen from SNL is in this video, and he kind of anchors it with this little keyboard part that he's playing in the street. And some SNL alums and current cast members make appearances in this video. Andy Samberg, past alum, is in there, as well as Vanessa Bayer, who has like the shittiest video quality of any of them. But like Brie Larson is in this. Jared Way, Sarah Silverman's in this.
Ellen Page. All your friends.
Evan Rachel Wood is in this, surprisingly enough.
Yeah. I think we have the whole cast. I went through.
I really enjoyed the concept of it. I thought it was very clever and interesting.
It's not the type of video that you're gonna go watch again.
No, I don't think so.
It's like, oh, what's the guy from Walking Dead sound like again? Let me go see what the fuck he sounds like. Definitely not. But like, I thought it was worth bringing up because it was it's full of stars, and I always love when like a video like this pops up and like we get to credit all of these names and all of these people and like give them a page in our database as well, because obviously they have very extensive IMDb listings. But you know, a lot of like actors pop up in music videos a lot.
You know what video I was just watching earlier today that is a perfect example of that, and is the Hopeless Wanderer video by Mumford & Sons.
Oh, God, that's such a great video.
I don't know why I turned that on earlier this evening.
It's got SNL guys too, right? Or one.
It's got Ed Helms. It's got Jason Bateman. Jason Sudeikis.
Right, so two SNLs.
And who's the fourth one?
Or Forte, so three SNLs.
That's right. And it's just... That video just like, I think that's a classic. I just really
well
believe.
Because what's great about that video is that it's also like parodying the band. Right. Like, it's not just them singing the song; it's them doing like a really like if SNL did a sketch where they were impersonating Mumford and Sons, that's what they'd do. That exactly. Maybe not. They probably do it with like Forte as that ridiculous character that he plays too. Like, the other three guys are like doing Mumford and Son impersonations, and then Will Forte is like a crazy old man, which is like a very Will Forte.
It's kind of cool too. It paints the band as kind of being, you know, like good sports in a sense. I liked that part of it as well.
Yeah, there's no good sportsness going on with this video. This
yeah,
still...
but I mean, if they were dicks, they would have said like, "No, you can't make that video. Don't make fun of us. We're cool."
Oh,
we're
no, no, I'm going back to Sleater-Kinney. They don't seem any cool. Mm-hmm. Like, they seem like they're just showing off who they know.
Yeah, that the Hopeless Wanderer video. If anybody hasn't seen it, it's these four character, you know, actors that we mentioned playing Mumford and Sons characters, and it's just sort of brilliant because that was at the end of I think their album cycle for Babel, and they had become like a character at that point. I think unintentionally, even though I think they're a great band, and you know, they were very close to falling into like the Nickelback kind of arena where it's just like a joke, and I think they just totally just threw a bucket of cold water on that with this that video. And I don't know. I think in 10 years we'll still be talking about that video specifically, even though at the time it was sort of like, oh, this is amazing, this is funny, and it immediately faded from view. But I think it's a video that stands the test of time.
Yeah, because you'll get like music videos that like have funny people in them, and they like are funny for the moment, but kind of have like that same like any like you know viral comedy video shelf life of like a couple of months, and then like big spike, and then very like quick drop off. And like that one, I think will like continue to be, you know, like people will think about that video because of how like, because it wasn't just like, oh, let's try to do something funny. It's like, let's make fun of ourselves with it. It was like the Eminem in 8 Mile move of like making fun of yourself more than anybody else can.
And that's a great transition to another one of our videos, because the Beastie Boys had one of these videos that had tons and tons of people in it. Make Some Noise from 2011. And if you look at the cast list, it's got like Seth Rogen, Danny McBride, Elijah Wood, Rashida Jones, and the cast list just goes on and on and on. Huge stars. Orlando Bloom, Will Ferrell, yeah.
And it's basically them, like, doing a fake version of this video almost.
At times. Pretty much, yeah. and then they, so this is a video that didn't, like, I guess, technically come out this week, but was leaked this week as a video that had been made but had never been released. And that is Too Many Rappers by the Beastie Boys, directed by Roman Coppola.
So, like, this video is now being celebrated and everyone's, like, really excited about this. But I have a feeling maybe when this video was made, like, I don't know, like, maybe they were being a little bit more serious as how it's being now perceived. Am I way off base here? Like I'm just trying to like figure out a reason why it didn't come out in the first place. Something that like everyone now is like gobbling up. Like, holy shit, a Nas and Beastie Boys music video. Like, hooray. But like, do you think in 2009 it would have been the same reaction?
I mean, there's nothing. I mean, it is Nas and the Beastie Boys, and I think the one kind of image that people are kind of glomming onto, because I think it's the most interesting, is Nas and the Beastie Boys rapping in like a grocery store aisle, which is
kind like of like a Whole Foods.
I don't know if it's quite Whole Foods quality.
No, I guess you're right.
But it's
Winn-Dixie.
Yeah, Winn-Dixie or Albertsons quality. But it's sort of your, I don't want to say standard, but it's got all the elements that you would expect from a Beastie Boys video. Just with Nas in there, so I think
they're just like walking at the camera rapping.
Yeah, walking at the camera rapping. It's standing pretty, and in like trees. And like little bits of live shows and stuff. So I don't think it's anything that they put it. If they thought they were going to put it, if they put it out at the time that it was made, I mean, of course it would have racked up views because it's Beastie Boys, obviously. But I don't think it would have gotten nearly as many people talking as it is now because it's leaked and it's supposedly, oh, you're not supposed to see this.
Well, and right, you can't make anything Beastie Boys anymore.
Correct, yeah.
That's right, true. And I think that's part of the impact. I think their fan base has grown since 2009 because they don't exist in the same capacity that they once did. They're without one member, so I think they've become a little bit of legends, kind of.
I mean, they music. Were legends already, but right, but like this now they're like. They were legends already.
At the time that Adam Yuck passed away, I mean, they were making albums, but they were the kind of albums that were being interviewed on NPR Fresh Air about, you know?
No. That's my point. Like, so I'm not talking about the stuff that they were doing. They were definitely legends in 2009. That is, like, for sure. But, like, in terms of the stuff that they were doing in 2009, like, it wasn't the stuff that they were made legendary for. And so that's why I'm like questioning. And also, like, it seems like they maybe had like a day with Nas, and he's not like, he doesn't really nail this, right? Like, he's not all the way there on his lip syncing. And, you know, this is like a video that it seems like it was made very, very quickly, which is like an aesthetic, but also real. Probably in this case, like when Spike Jones was making Beastie Boy videos, like it had this aesthetic, but it probably wasn't actually rushed. This feels a little rushed, like really rushed. Like, just if I'm looking at the music video, like, objectively, right?
Mm-hmm. What is Nas doing now? What is he, like, does he have somewhere to go?
I don't fucking know.
Like, I don't know, like, well, like...
Not like, making great music, you're right about that. But, like...
Releasing another, like, platinum edition of, you know, like, collector's edition of Illmatic? I mean...
Right, let's try to re-release Illmatic if we can.
Froggy Fresh will buy it.
No, yeah, true. No, but, like, I love... This is great. Like, I really love... I think this video is... Like, I'm really happy that this kind of bubbled up and that they're kind of... It's being embraced. But I have a feeling, like... Yeah, like that the Beastie Boys were, like, probably found out about this on the blogs. Like, I don't think this is something that they had orchestrated. But it seems like they're into it. Why not be? So, like, here it is. Like, they can't really, like, stand in its way now.
That's a really smart move because, you know, if it's on the internet, it's there. And you're not going to be able to... Especially with the amount of, like, really rabid and dedicated Beastie Boys fans there are. I mean, they just... pounce on this. I mean, it's never
going to happen. Although, well, we can't really say... I mean, the Beastie Boys did try to get something removed from the internet. Right? That, like, commercial?
What commercial?
Yeah, right. They had, like... girls' toy.
Right, like, these girls reused their... Like, this female... Like, this toy company who makes girls' toys reworked the Beastie Boys girls' song to, like, be about their toys without asking. And Beastie Boys, you know... said no. Mm-hmm.
It was pretty silly because I thought it was a kind of a cute little parody.
Yeah, but they have like there was like explicitly like it's like the like said that they don't want their music to be used in advertising.
Like, sure,
that's something that they've long.
What kind of toys are these?
I don't know. I think that they're like positive female toys or whatever.
Yeah, kind of like girls can do, you know, jobs that are typically male.
There's nothing wrong with the toys.
Cool message.
But there's something wrong with, like, as a business, ripping off music.
So do we know that Beastie Boys music has never been used in another advertisement?
I don't know anything.
I've never seen it in another advertisement.
No, but not that I can think of. But, like, I do know that there was, like, a thing. And who knows if it was, like you know, it's like Mike D making the call. Like, like probably not. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there's... It's not like the band probably, but who knows? They probably were involved. I don't fucking know. I just know that there were issues. I just know that there were issues. Like, they tried
Doug
to get
speculation
something.
Corner.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to remove myself from any speculation and just try to say that they definitely tried to like get their music removed from a commercial. So either way, it's fun that this video is out and it seems like it's here to stay. Like the source we have now is like crediting someone for the embed. I don't know who Porky's 1982 is who has the video, but like their whole YouTube account is Beastie Boys stuff from like the past, and it's up there, and this is up there. I don't fucking know. Who knows? This is a fun video. I said I don't know about this video like a million times. It's a great chat. Let's talk about something we know a little bit more about.
How about Flying Lotus?
Fun.
This is a video that I saw a lot of super positive vibes about this week called Cornus the Terminator.
A lot of positive vibes. Directed by Young Replicant.
Young Replicant, yeah. Which you may remember from... when I think of Young Replicant, I always think of his video for Team by Lorde from 2013.
I think of a lot of videos, the XX one is a really he's did a few for them as well. They're really good.
And Fine Shrine by Purity Ring, which is also a fantastic video. But this one, give us a little rundown of the plot here, Doug.
Oh, that's tough. Let's see. I want to hear Adam. Adam's usually good at kind of connecting all of the dots really well. Let's see what Adam's got.
Yeah, so I think basically we've got there's obviously a lot of stuff open to interpretation. The boy character I'm not sure about. But anyway, we've got the central character who's this guy who's ill and I believe dying. And the bigger portion of the video is, I think, probably a dream or some state of him possibly passing away. And in the dream, he's kind of pursued by some creepy figures that could possibly represent the Grim Reaper or some form of death, kind of
ghosts, to take his ghosts. Soul.
Maybe ghosts.
Because aren't they like covered in white?
Yeah, they're covered in white.
And doesn't
white
he start powder. To start to take some of that whiteness on, or I can't remember.
Yeah, I think so. The boy seems important, but I'm not really sure. In the end of the video, the boy ends up kind of shooting him in the back of the head, and like rose petals like fly out of the front of him. So yeah, super dark. That's kind of what I took away from it, though. You guys see anything differently?
I think in terms of style, this is, to me, this represents like a big leap forward for a young replicant as a director. I just thought that I've always been a fan of his work, but this took it to another much more advanced level for me in terms of the visuals, in terms of matching emotion in the song with the video. I thought this was very, and I saw a good number of directors, including Hiro Murai, pointing to this video and saying, this is beautiful. I think they're absolutely right. I think this is a beautiful video.
And what makes Hiro Murai mentioning it significant is that he directed the last two Flying Lotus videos ago.
And the Flying Lotus video that he directed for Never Catch Me ended up on many, many people's top 10 music video lists of the year 2014, including ours.
Right.
It just like an amazing video. And I think there's something about Flying Lotus that just people pull out, not just their A game, but they kind of feel the need to, like, you can't just deliver a regular video to Flying Lotus. I mean, there's just every Flying Lotus video has this element to it that is just completely unique and completely insane and beautiful, which every time I'm flying, no matter who makes it, every time a Flying Lotus video comes out, I know that it's going to be really amazing.
Go ahead, Doug.
Yeah, Adam, go for it.
I was just going to say, like you mentioned, Adam, each video is very unique from the other one. You never really know what to expect, but I think he's got some recurring themes. This one reminded me of, like you guys mentioned, Never Catch Me, with the themes of death and dying, and also reminded me of an older video, the 2012 video for Tiny Tortures, which starred Elijah Wood. And in that video, he was missing some limbs as well, and that was like a big thematic plot point of that video. So there are some imagery and themes that he seems to revisit with different directors too, which is interesting.
The Tiny Tortures video is fantastic.
And we should mention that, so the person without the limb is his son in the Coroner's Determinative video. I think it's his son, right?
Interesting. It's a boy. Also In the Tiny Tortures video, where Elijah's missing limbs, they later on transform into like strange kinds of robotic limbs. And in this video, the boy's hand at the end when he shoots, I guess, his father, it looked kind of crazy.
I'm looking at a tweet. I'm looking at a tweet from Young Replicant from earlier this afternoon, and he's got some concept art, and it's the boy with the gun. And he describes it as a harbinger of ego death. So I think the child is serving a more metaphorical purpose. Maybe it's the same actor as the son, but I still think like his existence there is obviously serving a more metaphorical purpose than trying to like find a direct connection within the narrative.
In the concept art, Doug, does it look like some sort of prosthetic hand that's holding the gun?
Kind of. It's hard to tell. It's like the whole body.
Oh yeah, it totally is a robotic hand. Okay, I just wondered if I saw that right in the video.
But I think you can still have your son be a manifestation
Your ego. Yes, yes, yes. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And maybe it is the same actor, and that is a deeper connection there, sure.
Because at the beginning of the video, I think a really powerful image is this, you know, man who's dying, and he's not just dying in a bed alone. He has, like, a group of people around him laying hands on him as he's passing away. And there's these, he's not just like staring up at the ceiling, you know, just not knowing where he is. He's very aware of his surroundings. He's observing things. It looks like he's sort of contemplating, and, you know, he's probably one of the things he's looking at. And I would assume thinking about is his son, and thinking about his sort of, you know, the one person who, or maybe he's more sons, I'm not sure, you know, the person who's kind of like carrying, you know, he's passing away, but somebody else is carrying on. And I feel it's so interesting that maybe that person at the end is what kind of ends it for him, you know, whatever state he's in at the end, that's kind of brought to an end by his son.
It's so eerie how those ghosts are. Am I right in the middle where you're at?
No. You keep going.
Okay, yeah. It's just so eerie how, like, the ghosts kind of are interacting with the music as well. Like, they kind of clap along the beat and that kind of thing. It's
these
just
were
like,
some scary-ass ghosts.
It is so much scary, man. Oh, man, it's so intimidating.
I wish stuff like this would come out. Every like, Halloween, we get some goofy-ass videos. Just, like, some stupid-ass videos. Same thing with Valentine's Day. We get the dumbest videos on Valentine's Day.
You can do goofy right. You know, Brandon Drummer does goofy right and, like, silly correctly. But you're right.
The Necro Goblicon video for No One Survives.
And the same as the one we talked to him about around Halloween, the one with the Vine Girl.
Oh yeah, that is good. But this one is like just like some spooky ass shit. So
this shit is spooky, right? This shit's so good. It's such a great video. This is like, there's been some strong videos already, and this is gonna, like, I feel like here's a video that we're gonna like, it's that we're gonna be talking about like for a while, like all year, you know what I mean? Like, this will be one that we point to as like really one of the really strong videos of the year. I can already tell.
It's only the middle of January,
but like this video like stacks up to like the stuff we've talked about for the end of the year last year, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. This video came out last year, I would have talked about it for like the top 50 conversation, you know what I mean? So
so what about the Young Thug Old English video?
Yeah, this is an interesting video featuring Freddie Gibbs and A$AP Ferg, and I've seen it kind of listed as kind of like, I think it's coming off of a compilation album that the label compilation album, and so the who the song is by is kind of all of them. But
and you know, Rap the Genius, one, what's that?
I was just gonna say Rap Genius has it as Young Thug is the main artist, and that's enough for me.
Yeah, I agree. And to visualize what this video looks like, the only thing you need to know is it's directed by Rough Mercy. and this video is, so Rough Mercy, as if anybody who's familiar with his style knows, is a lot of sometimes mixed media, like for Greasy Love by Finlay or She's This by Lily Allen, a lot of saturated single, you know, colors within a palette, and also drawing like animations on images or on filmed images. And this one for Old English is entirely animated. And I don't know what it is about this video, but I was like mesmerized by this video.
Yeah, totally.
And one of the things that I think kind of ties it in for me is that, so he's illustrating the rappers, Young Thug, Freddie Gibbs, and A$AP Ferg, for each of their verses, illustrating some things. But along with that, this song also, I don't know if any of you guys felt this way, it just sounds different than a lot of other rap songs. It has more reverb, it has a lot more like sense of space in the recording. It was a really compelling combination for me.
And it definitely like fits in with like the dark background, like really bright animation, you know, like there's like that space is kind of represented in the frame as well. And yeah, I was really like, I love the animation style of these characters. And like the stuff, I mean, this is really, I mean, it's got some very like famous Rough Mercy kind of scribble words and stuff, but it's also got some stuff that seems really fresh for a Rough Mercy video to me as well.
Yeah, like for Sheezus, like he's taking video of Lily Allen and kind of drawing over it, which was interesting. But this, he's animating in his own style, like a cartoon version of, you know, Young Thug.
I mean, and it's like, it's different characters doing the verses, but like, these characters are all style. You know what I mean? Like, there's no, like, resemblance, really.
Especially, who does the last verse? Is that ASAP Ferg? Yeah, it looks nothing like ASAP Ferg. Or maybe it does a little bit, but it's definitely like a character. I thought the anime, like the kind of characters of each of the rappers here were so.
I think he like it seemed like to me it seemed like he based what the character would look like on how their verse sounds, and yeah, like this has got some like you may see ASAP Ferg in a bucket hat. But like, if you put this like these two next to each other, they don't like look the same. Like this, the characters look like the verse sounds more than it does like the character, like than it does the rapper.
Definitely, and it's also interesting because in the past few years, we've gotten, I think, with the rise of what like one of the most interesting and compelling websites I think that's come along in a long, long time. Is formerly Rap Genius, now genius.com, which, you know, they annotate many, many other things, but I think the heart and soul of the site is still what it debuted as a reference for, which is kind of breaking down the meanings behind rap lyrics. One of the things that I think makes the hip-hop genre so, like, fun and compelling is the, you know, layers you can dig into with rap lyrics. And for a video like this, like there are moments where, you know, they're saying a word or phrase and he's kind of illustrating the meaning behind it, which I thought was an interesting kind of, it's almost like a visual Rap Genius guide in a few.
Oh, it was a learning moment for you.
Well, me too, for sure. It's like an urban dictionary for like rap slang. I learned things. It's education.
Oh man, that's great. I knew what everything meant.
No, you would. Everything?
Yeah, every word.
You would.
Yeah, you would. Whatever.
I would.
Let's great, great, great video. Amazing video.
Yeah, really fantastic. What should we talk about next? There's my favorite video of the week. I don't think we've talked about yet, but I think we should talk about this FKA Twigs video, right?
Yeah.
I think like it's like a rule. There's like a few, if any, like. If Hiro Murai or FKA Twigs, or there's like a list of people who are like, if they make a
video. Maroon 5.
Maroon 5. If they make a video, it's a rule that we have to talk about it.
Is this the first self-directed FKA Twigs video? According to our. Well, she's co-directed on a few things, but this is the first single director credit.
For a music video, she self-directed a Google Glass commercial. That's choreographed by Ryan.
That's
Heatherton.
Really good.
No, I mean it is actually really good. Choreographed by Ryan Heffington. But this is the first solo director music video for her.
And
that we have.
So this is interesting. So the concept of it, for anybody who hasn't seen it, is FKA Twigs, which stands for Formerly Known As, which I didn't know until a few weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
You know why?
Because she changed her name from something else?
No, because there's another band named Twigs that like sued her because she was just she was just Twigs. I'm so serious.
Yeah, that's the reason.
There's a band named Twigs. I don't know where they're from. but there is, and they sued her, so she just did like she just put Formerly Known As in front of it,
like Froggy Fresh.
Exactly. Yeah.
He right. What if he just did like he was just AKA Krispy Kreme?
The FKA Krispy Kreme. Right. So this video, she's kind of in these like, I think it's one of like hair, the salient, right? salient like
Supposed
images.
To be her hair.
Yeah, in these like hanging bondage positions. It's a very sexual video. I feel like.
Well, all of her videos like do this strange thing with sexuality, right? They're all like, they all are very sexy, but also like do like often do uncomfortable things with the sexuality. You know, like having like a dude shoving his hands in her mouth, or like her dancing around an execution, or in this case, like being suspended in the air. Kind of it appears pretty painful. I couldn't pull this off by her own hair, and yeah, very like bondage-esque. She always is like towing this line with the sexuality in the videos.
Yeah, very sexy in a non-conventional way. So actually, she's currently dating Robert Pattinson, and he said he's having the best sex of his life.
That's weird.
I believe that.
That's weird that we talked about that on this.
For the guy from Twilight?
Yeah.
I knew that they were dating. I didn't
know.
Wow,
I did not know. This is 100% news to me.
Wow, I didn't know about the sex thing, and that's something that like I didn't.
That probably hurt Kristen Stewart's feelings.
That's weird. That's the thing, though, I don't care to know about how people have sex with each other.
Adam, can you send me a link to that article with the backup info?
Yeah, it's definitely an article. It's definitely an article
it was a
think piece.
Which is funny because like her album is full of these kind of weird like handlings of sexuality. Like I don't know if it's 2 weeks. No, it's another song where, you know, like the refrain goes, you know, we can do it. Once I trust you, we can do it with the lights on. Which is like one of the weirdest things to be like part of like a chorus. And, you know, one of those lines that when I heard it, I was like, huh, that's it.
She
interesting
like forces
to put in the song. Yeah.
It's you like she puts it in the chorus, right? She puts it in like the like catchy, memorable part is like the part that you like are like, oh, weird.
Meanwhile, Katy Perry is talking about how if it's your birthday, she's gonna take her, you know, big tits out and rub them all over your face.
I don't think that's a lyric. I would clip that line out of you saying, if I trust you, we could do it with the lights on. I want to make like, you know how like morning show radio like shows like have like a 30-second bumper at the beginning where they just like take a bunch of like out of context clips and like slam them together with explosions and stuff. It's like, if I trust you, we could do it with the lights on. And then we'll say something like that Adam says, mix it in there. We're gonna do that, so look out for that.
The morning music video zoo.
That's what this is gonna be called from now on.
In Birthday by Katy Perry, she talks about it's time to bring out the big balloons, which I have to consult Rap Genius or Genius.com, but I believe it means
to make boobs. Sure that's what it means.
Exactly.
You need an
illustration.
A Rough Mercy illustrative device.
Can you imagine if like Katy Perry did a Rough Mercy video? That would be
great. I mean, who knows, right? She did a Joel Cafale music video, which is awesome. So
it would be great, but it would make people's heads explode.
What if she did an FKA Twigs music video?
Like her next like single had like a, I don't know, for the Teenage Dream album, she had Snoop Dogg and she had Kanye West on there.
Yeah, okay, that's good. That's nothing compared to what's going on in these FKA Twigs videos. I mean, I'm not gonna like imagine what would happen in that video, because like if I were to come up with the ideas of any of these FKA Twigs videos, it would be completely wrong. It should not come from me. I want to talk about a video that Adam Alexander brought to my attention this week, and that is Tide, The Paradox Effect by Don Richard, directed by We Were Monkees. What'd you guys think of this video?
So good. I'm a huge fan.
I think this might be my favorite video of the week.
It looks so good.
Yeah, it's all style. I mean,
yeah,
they describe it. I've on their Vimeo embed of the video, they describe it as a fearless warrior embraces an imploding universe. And in terms of narrative, that's kind of what's that going on. It's like this crazy looking warrior dude, or maybe lady.
I think it's a girl.
Yeah, lady. A dude is a unisex term.
Sure. Wow. Okay.
Flaming fucking head, explosions everywhere, and like by the end the whole fucking planet explodes, and they just take it on. They just like bring it in.
It's very climactic, and so is the song. I think that's part of the strength.
Shit is all climax. This is 3.5 minutes of climax. This is the name of this podcast. And this is just crazy. A lot of like, this is one of those videos that I look at, and like, I don't even try to like think of how things were achieved. Like, I look at this, like the spin move in the Childish Gambino video. Like, part of me like tries to sometimes, after watching it a few times, like dissect how they could have done certain things. But like this video, like I don't even start, because I'm just like, this was done by crazy shit happening. They blew up a planet for this video.
They said it couldn't be done, but they blew up a planet. Yeah, I really enjoy it. This is one of those videos that I think is... It's kind of funny. Music videos are sometimes like very diametrically opposed to film, where something can be very beautiful, but like I don't know how much there is to like say about it, whereas something can be very kind of non-visual, non-visually like exciting, you know, sans explosions, basically. And you could talk about it for 2 hours. For this, I found like very, very visually interesting, but it was one of those ones like I'd skip through a little bit and I'd get the gist, you know. I'm sorry. I still did like it. And do we have a director for this? Yeah, we were monkeys.
Who are cool. They've directed a lot of. They did a Coheed and Kimbra video and. Of Masters.
Oh, they did that little talks video I have, Monsters and Men. Okay.
Yeah, they do some cool VFX based videos.
Yeah, the VFX in this are immaculate. They're amazing.
Yeah, and it's definitely like you get a lot of the same. I mean, it's basically this character just like walking and then a massive explosion. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for me, I like was really. I was into the spectacle. I thought it was short enough that it didn't like run out of gas for me.
So should we end on this A-Track video push?
I think that's a good place to end, although we teased it like we were going to have two Kevin Phillips videos and we'd be cutting one out. But I would like to definitely talk about this A-Track video.
Yeah, this is a video called Push by A-Track featuring Andrew Wyatt, directed by Ramon Alea. And the way I wanted to mention this, because I think you could definitely describe this video as like alternate universe Taylor Swift Blank Space video.
Okay. All right, continue.
Because if you recall, in the Blank Space video by Taylor Swift, it is sort of a love story, you know, beginning and ending. And it's pretty much Taylor Swift and this other attractive-looking guy in a big mansion. Mm-hmm. Very, very large, very elaborate mansion. But you never really see anybody but them. And this kind of takes place in, like, a similar-ish mansion. But it's like a bizarro world kind of deal, where it's a girl and a guy who are sort of getting ready. This is like the more chill, this is like the Blank Space universe that I would want to hang out in, right? Because everybody gets together. There's like crazy stuff.
I think you're getting too far ahead of the concept, because I read this as these were the same person, and they're doing like the same. This is kind of some kind of like where it's like showing like two parallel universes.
Hmm.
Like, because they keep showing the same shot of each character doing the same thing each time. So I think these are the same. There's a lot of fucking going on here in this video.
Yeah, and this so is a pretty dense video.
I could be off base, but like I thought that I was watching like the same character doing the same like thing over and over again, and each time it was like the dude version of it and the lady dude version of it, where we were getting it like from each of their like parallel universe or something, and then at the end it's kind of like revealed that like they're suddenly together because they are together at the end, which is could lead to leading you to believe that they were together. Adam Alexander, how did you read it?
I'm watching it now, and I didn't pick up on that. And not for the first time. I watched it earlier.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm just noticing what you're pointing out, Doug. And yeah, that there is something to do with the two characters doing the same things. But I don't know. This video is crazy.
And the mansion is crazy distracting because this is a crazy mansion. Like the closet is like the most giant and inefficient closet I've ever seen. It's like a 3-bedroom closet, like the size of 3 bedrooms. It's a closet, but like the way it was arranged, they have like 11 things in it. Like it's very inefficient. It's like a retail store.
I mean, couldn't this just be instead of like parallel? Couldn't this just be like people like so the two characters that we start out on are white young white girl, not young. She's like a teenager, I guess, late teens because we see her boobs, 18 plus. And
I'm glad this popped up on Vimeo because the YouTube version had them blurred out and looked
As soon as I started watching the video, so I noticed there was a Vimeo and YouTube version, and I started watching the YouTube version, and as soon as I noticed lots of blurring going on, I was like, Vimeo's got my back on this.
Right, right.
You pervert.
It's weird because like this isn't on Vivo, and like Vivo I've seen way worse, right, than the nipples that show up in this video. So it's weird that like who has to toe the line and who doesn't.
I don't know, that's a good question of why that. Maybe they're just not on a Vivo label, or it seems hard to believe. I don't
think they want to fuck with it. Like Vivo probably like has a direct phone call at, you know, or like they share a fucking office with YouTube. Like I don't know if either of those are true, but like they definitely have a much closer relationship than they do with Fool's Gold Records, which has like their own independent account.
So the thing that I found kind of interesting about this video is like, and the why I compare it to the Blank Space video, because you know, in the beginning, this white girl and this black guy are in different places, kind of getting ready. You know, she starts in the bath, and he starts not in the bath, but I don't know, some sort of
thing. He starts in the bath too.
Okay, all right.
Like well, literally it's the same shot twice throughout this whole video. Like,
well,
the whole video
but then
is
they get to
shot.
Then they get it's, together and start partying, and it's like.
But there are two parties. Mm-hmm. One party is like his party, and it's like. And it's like different, and like her dinner is like lobster and stuff, and like his dinner is like fucking French fries in a glass fucking vase. Like,
yeah, he smokes a joint and she smokes a cigarette.
It's two different. It's two parallel things going on. Like if you watch again, it's literally like the same shot twice, basically the whole video.
There are two parties though.
It's the same party in two different ways. Like if you look at the people that are around the male character and the people that are around the female character, it's not the same people.
Wow. See, I was watching this being like, what a diverse group of people.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it either until Doug mentioned it, but it's there.
Wow, and I watched this video twice.
There's a lot more to this video than I initially had thought.
What's the purpose of that then? I don't understand what the cuz the black guy is has like a bunch of
Who's a rapper, I think.
Is that Andrew Wyatt?
No, TM88. No. It's just like a guy who's the character, but he's... I think he's a rapper. Like, if I looked him up on Twitter, and he's a rapper.
Andrew Wyatt is the vocalist of the song. He's from Mike Snow.
Okay,
so
got it.
That's Andrew Wyatt.
So, but, like, are they trying to draw similarities between the two? Because it's not like there's no real con. I mean, you could watch this video like I did and just assume that everything was happening in the same space at the same party, and they're not so different. It's not like one you know, things in a jungle, and the other ones in like on a mountain. You know,
it's... I noticed some differences, particularly at the dinner. That's where like the differences were fun, because like, and because like he literally, you don't remember the French fries in the vase?
I do remember that, but I thought like, oh wow, they've got a lot of weird shit of this thing. Like they've got a bunch of like gross looking fish and French fries in a vase. I just mashed everything together.
He grabs a bunch of like Molly out of a fishbowl, and then it's like a cut to her like feeding the fish.
I honestly thought that's just where they give the fish food.
Oh, you thought that was fish food? No, he grabs like drugs, like those are pills that he grabs, and what she grabs what she does is like feed the fish in the same kind of container. Like, oh, wow. they're definitely using the same closet. Like,
I think we're just too old. We're 30. Doug's like young and hip and cool.
Yeah. And 29. Oh, look at this, like a 29-year-old who understands music videos.
I definitely noticed they were in this, they had like very similar looking closets, but I thought like, oh well, they're a couple and they're getting ready together.
I like definitely in the same initially house. Thought that too, but then I started putting it together.
Yeah,
and you started pushing through.
You notice A-Track pops up in the video too, which is
he
fun.
Does. Yeah,
I also have the full cast for this video, so there you go.
Wait, where does A-Track pop up?
107. He's like just sitting at a desk, like reading.
Cool, that's like a Diplo move. I like that.
A Diplo move. He pops up in a, you know, like that in the Dugan O'Neill Duck Sauce video. He's like very briefly in it too. Yeah, some of the fish is really gross looking. But like, yeah, like he's with like dudes with dreadlocks like drinking straight from the bottle, and she's with like bitches. I don't know who she's with. She's with like a bunch of ladies.
No, but she's like trying to play PlayStation, and the guy's trying to make out with her. She's not in a happy place.
The fries in the thing. That's what I want on my tombstone. A dude with with fries in a jar.
Well, if you're listening to this and you want to have your mind blown, it's blowing my mind a little bit. Go watch this Push by A-Track featuring Andrew Wyatt video.
You guys liked the video though, right?
Oh yeah, it's a great video. Yeah. Fantastic. Even without knowing that kind of thread there.
And there's a Jesus moment too, right? And A-Track's also in that Jesus scene.
Yeah, it looks like the Last Supper.
I just call it a Jesus moment, but you know. Whatever you
and there's
know.
Like an albino lady that's creepy.
Don't be weird.
Albinos are people too.
She's all yeah. No, no disrespect, but she was a little bit creepy.
And then there's a fucking helicopter. True. This video is crazy.
Yeah,
we
need the cliff notes for this one.
This video is
wacky. A tiger with a basketball.
We need the Rough Mercy notes. That's what we should do. We should hire Rough Mercy to just like write notes on top of all music videos to like just tell people what's going on. It's our commentary 2.0, where Rough Mercy writes shit on music videos. Look out for that. No, don't look out for that. We're hiring John Madden to do that instead.
So if you want to see any of these music videos. Well, Google them, you jerks. I mean, go to imvdb.com/podcast, and you'll find that in the show notes. We put some links in there. We throw some links your way. We throw some
pictures of Adam Alexander in shorts.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Those exist.
Short shorts.
I've seen them.
Modestly. You put on the shorts, Adam. Don't blame anybody else but yourself.
Oh fuck! I just remembered I had these fried Oreos. They're sitting right here on the floor.
You didn't eat the fried Oreos? You put yourself on mute to eat the fried Oreos.
I mean, I put myself on mute to eat one, and there's still more.
How many fried Oreos did you get?
I mean, there's only one size that you can get, all right? They don't allow you to just, like, get a la carte fried Oreos, all right? You're either going to get 65 or none, all right? And I wanted one. No, it's not 65.
Oh, man. Well, there we go. I think we did it this week.
We did it. We did do it this week. We did it together.
And our next episode will be when Doug turns 30, a few months later. So we'll see you in May, everybody.